Hello there, everybody. It's Mike Arrigo, back with another podcast slash tutorial slash demonstration. How's that for a combination? And this time, it's actually not with an Apple product that I'm going to show you, though it is phone-related. What I'm going to show and demonstrate for you here is the accessibility and what you can do with an Android phone. Now, I know there's been a couple other podcasts demonstrating this, and certainly those are good ones, but there's been some improvements since then, and so I just wanted to take some time and you know, kind of explain what you can do with Android and what's being developed for it and what's available to you. So you can either decide if an Android phone might be right for you, or if you have one, maybe to help you get started and learn it a little bit better. Now, this is going to be a little more challenging for those of you that have listened to my other podcasts with the iPod and iPhone and the Mac. And by the way, thank you for all the kind words on all those. It was well worth it. This one's going to be a little more challenging because the diversity of Android phones, each one is different. So there's not going to be a way for me to tell you where different buttons are and where different controls are, because each phone is different. So what I will have to do is kind of give you some general concepts, and then hopefully you can take it from there. So this one will be a little more challenging probably for me and for you, the listener, but it's my intent, at least, to make most of the challenge be with me and not with you. So I will do my best with that. Before I get into demonstrating Android with some things, let me give you some kind of preliminary as to whether an Android phone might be right for you or whether it might not, and some advantages and disadvantages. First off, the accessibility of Android, it is still a work in progress. So if you're used to, you know, what you've seen on the iPhone or with Talks or Mobile Speak, it's not quite that developed yet. That's not to say it's not usable, because it is. It's very usable, actually. But there really are no keystrokes like to read the window or to review the screen, nothing like that at this point. Now, that's not to say that won't be there in the future. Hopefully it will. I know Code Factory and I think actually Nuance too are working on something for Android. We'll see what that is, although they're going to have to make it pretty good if they want to do a paid product, since the screen readers that are available for Android are free. So there really are no specific screen reader keystrokes for Android. Instead, you use the phone and let the screen reader tell you what's important for you to know. And overall, it works well. There are some applications where the buttons are not labeled, and so then the screen reader will just say button or image. But that's not the fault of the screen reader. It can only tell you what the application reports. So if you need to be able to read, character by character or, word by word, something like that, then Android may not be the right thing for you at this point. The other thing is, at this point, the default web browser and the default email client that are built into Android are not yet accessible. However, having said that, that doesn't mean you can't do those things. You can. It's just that you have to get third-party apps off of the Android market, which is the equivalent of the iPhone App Store. That's where you download and install your applications from. So there are apps that will do that. It's just that you'll have to get those and download those separately. Hopefully, Google will fix that. That is something that does need to be fixed, admittedly. So the accessibility, again, in Android is not perfect. It is a work in progress, but it is usable. Having said those things, let me tell you what you can do with an Android phone, now that we've done the bad news first, as it were, let me tell you what you can do. You can obviously make and receive calls. You can send and receive text messages. You can do email if you get the third-party email program, as well as browse the web with the third-party web browser. On the web browser, you don't have, again, all the features like to move from heading to heading or form control to form control. So it is not quite as developed as far as that goes, but it is usable. There's a built-in YouTube app on Android that allows you to search and watch videos on YouTube. That works very well. There are a lot of third-party apps that work very well. I've got several radio apps, which I will show you. Also, where Android really shines, I think, is with GPS. And hopefully on this podcast, we will go out and make a brief pedestrian trip. As far as finding out where you are, what places are around you, and getting directions to a destination, Android is very good at that. And the good news is all of those apps are totally free. A lot of it is developed by Google. There are some other apps that are developed by third parties, but it's free. There are some paid navigation apps in the market. Navigon is there, which, of course, is also available on the iPhone, and it works really well. But honestly, I see no need to get that. The only reason why you might do that is if you need maps, you know, that are not, you know, offboard maps, basically, or maps that are stored on your memory card instead of downloaded from the internet as you need them. And the only time you might need that is if you travel in an area that doesn't have cell coverage. I've never tried that, so I don't know how accessible it is, because the Google Maps / navigation app works very well, and it's totally free. And the directions are very good, as you'll see here a little bit later on. Okay, so what else can we do here? Skype works very well, although I'm still trying to figure out on that. The contacts work very well. Placing calls works well. Answering a call. If someone calls you, I'm still trying to figure that part out. Unless I'm missing something, that doesn't appear to be obvious how to do that. But it reads very well, certainly. Let's see. What else? The Android Market works very well on the phone, so if you want to download and install apps that way. And actually, recently, Google has just made it available where you can actually browse the apps on your computer. And once you find an app that you want, you click install or purchase if it's a paid app. And then the app just downloads to your phone. There's no need to sync with you know, like an equivalent of iTunes or anything like that. It's all cloud-based. And that's another area where I think Android in some ways is better than the iPhone and iPod Touch. I love my iPhone. I still use it. I actually switch between my iPhone and my Android phone quite a bit. And that's the advantage of using a carrier with a SIM card. You can switch phones. For Android, you can have it back up all your application settings and all that stuff in the cloud, basically, and then should you get a new phone, you don't have to sync it with your desktop. You simply sign into your Google account. It automatically downloads those apps and the settings, and you're good to go. And music, too, is a lot easier. There's no need to sync to get music on your phone. Now, some people like that, and that's okay. My personal opinion is I don't like it. I want to be able to just connect my phone or my device and just copy the MP3s over and be done with it. I don't want to have to add it to a library and then have to do a sync. That's a waste of time, as far as I'm concerned. So, and with Android, you can do that. You can have it show up as a mass storage device for your PC or your Mac. Just copy the MP3s over to your memory card or whatever, you know, sound files you're using, and then disconnect it, and off you go. The music player, at least the default one, is accessible. I'll explain more about that in a minute. Okay, so yes, playing music is another thing you can do. It functions as a great music player. So you've got, essentially, you could take that out and listen to music and you know, have your GPS also with that. Audible works very well. I don't have that app on my phone because I don't use Audible all that much, although they just released a new version of the Audible player where they've greatly improved the accessibility, labeled all the buttons, so Android can function as a very good Audible player. So that's another thing you can do. So that's some of the things you can do, and certainly that's not limited to what I've mentioned. You know, the best way to know if an app's going to work is just to try it, kind of like on the iPhone, same thing. So as far as what to get, what type of Android phone, because again, they're very diverse. Some have QWERTY keyboards, some don't. You know, some have actual physical call and end buttons and some don't. So it's very diverse. So again, I can't tell you you definitely want to get this or you definitely want to get this. All I can do is give you some general information, and hopefully by that you'll be able to, you know, to be informed about it. It used to be that you would have to have a phone with a physical keyboard. However, that has now changed. Nolan Derelick, who actually wrote one of the screen readers for Android, has developed a talking on-screen keyboard. And again, this is another area where the accessibility is still a work in progress. The touch screen has not really been made accessible yet on Android. And hopefully, again, that's something that will come. So the default on-screen keyboard that Google provides isn't really accessible by a blind person. So there are two ways to deal with that. You can get a phone with a hardware, you know, physical keyboard, although that does limit you quite a bit. And like I say, thanks to Nolan Derelick, who developed Spiel, he developed Spiel's one of the talking, one of the screen readers for Android. That's the name of it. He developed a talking on-screen keyboard that you can use, and then you can type text much like you do on the iPhone and iPod Touch. So we are no longer limited to having to get Android phones with hardware keyboards, and that's a good thing, because the phones that have hardware keyboards are pretty few, actually. The other thing, and this you will want to make sure that you get. You want to make sure that the phone you get has some kind of navigation control. Some of the very newest Android phones don't have this. Most of them do, so you hopefully won't run into this issue. But they either use a trackpad or a trackball or like a D-pad, you know, some kind of thing to move up, down, left, right, and then to press in on it, you know, to click on the item. Some of them, they use a trackpad where you just flick your finger up, down, left, or right to move in the specified direction, and then, again, press in on it to actually click it. Some of the other phones that have hardware keyboards use arrow keys for that navigation, up, down, left, and right arrow keys, and then an enter key to click on the item. So, again, each phone will have, you know, something slightly different. So again, you'll have to kind of look at that and see which, you know, what works best for you. The other thing I'll tell you, again, some phones have physical buttons for, you know, sending, you know, the send key or call key, and then to hang up the hang up key. Some phones, those buttons are physical. Some of them, they are touch buttons on the screen. It's not really required that you get a phone with those physical buttons, because what you can do is to answer a call, you can slide your finger across the screen from left to right. And then to hang up a call, you can either slide it from right to left, or there is a setting where you can have the power key on your phone function as the hang up button. So it's not required that you have you know, send and actual physical buttons. It is usable without that. Another thing, and I know I'm giving you quite a bit of information here, so, you know, if you forget anything, certainly feel free to go back and listen to some of this again and maybe take this with you when you go to the store to look at a phone if you decide that you want to play with Android a little bit. All Android phones have four buttons or four controls that are on every phone. Now, again, sometimes they are physical buttons. Sometimes they are on a certain location on the screen. And sometimes it might be a combination of that. And there's no way for me to tell you where they will be and, you know, the order that they come in because they're different on each phone. So I'll tell you what they are, and you can, once you look at the different phones, you can figure out when you decide on one where these are located. The phone I've got, actually, these four buttons are touch buttons at the bottom of the screen. And even if you don't have physical buttons, you can still press these once you memorize where they are. Once you learn the location. Like I said, the phone I've got, it's their touch controls. And, I'm able to do that without a problem. The buttons are, and I'm going to give them to you in the order that I've got. I've got the Google Nexus 1 is the one I'm using here. So on that phone, the first button is back. And what that does is it does two things. It takes you to the previous screen. So like if you were in a menu or you got into a screen and you wanted to go back to the previous screen, that key will take you back to the previous one. You can kind of think of that as an escape key also, if that means anything to you. It goes back to the previous screen. And if you hold your finger on that button for 1 or 2 seconds, it takes you back to the first home screen that you'll see when you first turn on the phone. Okay, so that's the back key. The next one is menu, and this key brings up the menu in whatever application you're in. Most applications have a menu of options. You can think of this as kind of the closest thing, although it's not exactly because there is no file, edit, view, or anything like that on Android, but you can think of it as the key that takes you to the menu bar or the menu, kind of the equivalent on Windows or the Mac. It brings up, an application's menu. That's going to be an important key to know because most applications have functions that you can get to in the menu. Actually, all four of these keys that I'm mentioning here are very important to know. So that's the menu key. Then there's home. And what this does is it takes you back to the whatever home screen you set as the default. The home screen on Android you can think of as like a desktop on a computer. And there are different home screens that you can install that offer you different functionality. There's even one for use of the phone eyes-free for those of us who can't see it. And that's how I have mine set. So whenever I press the home key, it goes back to that. It goes back to whatever you've set to be your home screen. If you hold your finger on the home key for a couple of seconds, it brings up a list of recently used applications. So that's a quick and easy way to switch between your recent applications. And the last key that's on all Android phones is the search key. And this brings up a search sometimes in the current application, or if you're just on the home screen, a lot of times it will just bring up a Google search. And you can either type in a website at that point, or you can type in something you're searching for. Then you can do the search. Or if you're in an application, some applications offer you search capabilities within that application. So that's the key you would use for that. And if you hold the key down for a second or two, it brings up the voice search option. So those are the four keys. Again, they may be in a different order than what I mentioned there, because each phone is a little bit different. And again, they may be physical buttons or they may be touch buttons. But once you know where they are, if they're touch buttons, the good thing is they'll always be in the same place. They don't move. So finding those should be fairly simple for you once you know where they are. Okay. Moving on then, how do you get started with the accessibility? Well, at this point at least, you will need sighted help to get started, to get the accessibility enabled. That's something, again, that hopefully will be worked out, but for the first time, you will need sighted help. Now, some phones have the accessibility programs installed, at least one of the screen readers, and some don't. So what you're going to need to do is when you first turn on an Android phone, the first thing it's going to do is help you set up the phone, and either you're going to need to either type in your username and password if you already have a Google account, or if you don't, it will ask you to create one. And again, that you'll probably need, well, you may not need sighted help to do that part, actually, if the accessibility is already installed. And what I mean by that is you could skip the setup for the moment and go directly into the settings, which is in the main menu of the phone, and go to accessibility. And what a sighted person will need to do is go into accessibility under settings, and I will show you where that is so you can kind of tell them where to go, because you can memorize it once they get into settings. But you enable accessibility, and then there are some options in there. TalkBack, which is one of the screen readers, that's the one that's actually developed by the Eyes Free Group at Google. So you can enable that, and then you'll have speech. And then if that's already on your phone, then you could go into the accounts and sign into your Google account that way, which would allow you then to, you know, be able to get apps from the market and that type of thing. There's also SoundBack, which makes kind of a sound whenever you move to different items. And there's KickBack, which gives you tactile feedback, vibrations, whenever you move to different items. Now, again, some phones have that already installed, some don't. If your phone doesn't and you enable accessibility, it will tell you on the screen, you know, that you need to go to the market and, you know, download the accessibility programs. So then in that case, you would have to sign into your Google account before your phone would talk. Also, chances are the version of TalkBack is not the newest one that comes on your phone. So once you get, you know, signed into your Google account, you will want to go to the Android market and download the newest version, which will then update whatever is already on your phone. And then from there, you know, the market will tell you whenever there's updates. There are two screen readers for Android. There is TalkBack, and then there's one called Spiel, which I mentioned earlier. That one you will have to download from the market. I like Spiel better myself. They're very similar, but Spiel, I think, is a little more responsive, and it also gives you a little bit more information. For example, like when you're in a menu, it'll tell you like 2 of 6. So, you know, there's 6 items in the menu, and I do think it's a little more responsive. The good thing is you can have them both installed on your phone, and you can switch between them, although in the accessibility, of course, you'll want to basically check one and then uncheck the other one to turn the other one off. And you can do that without a problem. Once the accessibility is enabled on your phone, it will stay that way unless you disable it, which of course there'd be no reason to do that really. So you'll only need sighted help once to get it enabled and possibly to download it, you know, from the market if it's not already on your phone. Once that's done, whenever you turn on the phone, you'll have speech. So that won't be a problem. Okay, I'm trying to think if there's any other preliminary things I wanted to tell you. I know I've given you a lot of information here. I will give you some general recommendations of phones that I've heard, you know, people using successfully on the different carriers, at least in the United States. Now, in other places, unfortunately, I don't know, so you'll have to kind of check what's available. On T-Mobile, the G2 is a good choice on that one, the T-Mobile G2. The other thing you'll want to get to, and most phones nowadays meet this requirement, but you'll want to get one with at least Android 2.2. 2.3 is the absolute newest version, and I don't think The only phone that I know of that's running that is the Nexus S so far, which that one does not have a navigation pad actually on it, or a trackball. So that one, at least at this point, that particular phone we can't use. But everything else, at least all the current phones, I think are running around 2.2. And you want to get 2.2 if you can, because it is very fast, and they've done some speed improvements compared to previous versions. So for T-Mobile, the T-Mobile G2 would be a good choice. That one does have a physical keyboard. You could also take a look at some of the other ones. Now again, that there is a talking on-screen keyboard, but if you want a physical keyboard on T-Mobile, the G2 would be the logical choice. For Verizon, the Droid 2, I think, is a good one, at least from what I've heard, people using that one. For Sprint, the Samsung Intercept is a very good choice. The Epic is another one that I've heard works pretty good, and that one's going to receive the Android 2.2 update. Probably it will have it by the time you hear this. I'm not sure about AT&T, what they've got available, although one thing I will tell you about AT&T Android phones. Unlike on the iPhone and iPod Touch, where unless you jailbreak the phone, you can only install apps from the iTunes App Store, with Android, at least in most cases, there's a checkbox that you can check under settings that will allow you to install apps that are not from the market. So like if you want to get an app from a developer's website, or maybe you want to beta test something, you can just copy the application file to your memory card, and then you can go ahead and install that if you enable this this feature that allows you to install non-market apps. However, on AT&T's Android phones, they have disabled that, so you cannot do. You can only install stuff from the market with AT&T phones, which personally I've got a very serious problem with that. And that's one reason why I like phones that are not carrier specific and that are unlocked, because I don't want the carrier deciding, if the feature is built into the operating system and it's a feature that it can do, I don't want the carrier deciding, well, we don't want you doing that, so we're going to disable it. No, the carrier's job, as far as I'm concerned, is to provide me the service that I'm paying for, and I want that to end at the SIM card. I don't want them deciding what I need and don't need on my phone. That's not their place, as far as I'm concerned. That's just my opinion, of course. But of course, with Sprint and Verizon, they don't use SIM cards because they use CDMA. So the other thing I want to tell you is some phones, depending on the manufacturer, they run kind of a customized interface to Android. I know HTC has done this. They call it HTC Sense. Motorola's done it with their Motobler, I think it's called, and Samsung has done this too with some of their phones, where they kind of make their own menus, and they basically, in some ways, they change the standard Android interface. If possible, you want to get a phone that is as stock Android, I guess, as possible, with as little manufacturer modifications. I don't know why the manufacturers thought they needed to do that. Fixing something that's not really broken, as far as I'm concerned. If a user wants to do that, then let them, download that and install it. But I think that, they should at least start out, with the regular stock Android. And Google has kind of hinted at manufacturers to kind of that same thing. The reason I say that is because sometimes those manufacturer interfaces may not be as accessible as the stock Android. Now, you can still install, the eyes-free shell, as it's called, the home screen, and hopefully, get around some of that. But still, the more stock Android your phone is, the better. Okay, I think I've covered everything preliminary that I wanted to tell you. It's a lot of information, I realize, but again, it's because Android is so diverse, and each phone is different. It's hard for me to give you specifics on each phone. I will tell you about the phone that I've got, And you know, we can you can kind of use that as kind of a frame reference. But again, most other phones that you get will be different. I've got the Google Nexus One. This is a phone made by HTC. It's not carrier specific, so there's no carrier bloatware on it, and it's unlocked. So it is stock Android. There's nothing, no modifications, none of that stuff, which is the way I prefer it. What it looks like, I'm going to pull it out of the case here. It did come with a little case. Looks kind of like a camera case almost. There's not a whole lot of buttons on it. You've got the power button on the top left, a headphone jack on the right. You've got this the top, which is mostly made up of the touch screen. And then below that, you've got a trackball. And this is an actual ball that rolls around. It's also used on some other HTC phones. And then on the side, you've got the volume up and down keys. And that's it as far as buttons go. It's about the size of the iPhone, actually. It's very close to that. And it's a really nice phone. I like it. And then down on the bottom, you've got the mini USB port. Most Android phones use mini USB ports for connecting to a computer and charging. So they don't use kind of proprietary connectors the way Apple stuff does. Well, let's go ahead and turn on this phone. We'll go ahead and I'll show you some things. I'm using a different voice. There are some voices that you can get from the Android market. I am using one. It's made by Loquendo, if any of you have heard of those voices. Her name is Susan, and it's a very high-quality voice compared to what the voices that comes with Android. I will show you what the default voice sounds like at one point when we demonstrate how to connect your phone to your computer. Because it stores the voice files for the Loquendo Susan voice, it stores it on your memory card. And that's the only place you can store it. And when you mount the phone as a drive, the phone itself can no longer access contents on the memory card until you disconnect it. So there, I will have to switch to the default voice that's built in. Okay, so let's go ahead and press the power button on the top left of this. Hold it down for a second. Okay. And it just vibrates for a second, and it's got the logo on the screen. It's booting up here, and we'll go ahead and demonstrate some things for you here as far as how this works. When it first boots up, you are on what's called the launcher, and this came with some widgets, which I haven't figured out yet how to remove. It's got like a news widget and like a weather widget. I really don't use those. Usually what I do is I just press the home button, and that then takes me to what's called the eyes-free shell. And that's something you can install from the market. That gives you some functionality, and it also gives you a good, easy menu to navigate your applications. One thing you might want to get once you get signed into your market or your Google account, there is an app on the market. It's called Ideal. It's IDEAL. I think it's called Ideal Accessibility Installer or something like that. Search for Ideal, IDEAL, and you should find it. But what this does is it looks at your phone, sees what you already have, and then it takes you through the different market pages one by one to download and install all of the different applications that have been developed to make your phone more accessible. So that that may be something worth your while to do if you don't want to search through everything. And it will get things like the newest version of TalkBack. It will get you the web browser, which is called Ideal Web Reader. What else does it give you? The email program, it'll offer to give you that. You don't have to do these. You can skip, them if it's not something you want to do. For instance, for me, I really don't do email on my phone. So I skipped the accessible email program, but that's certainly available if you want it. And, also it'll offer to get some GPS apps for you. So that might be worth your while. Okay. This phone is booted up and the screen is locked. So it's kind of gone to sleep. So the way you unlock an Android phone, it varies depending on if your phone has a hardware keyboard. If it does, usually just sliding that open will unlock the phone. Since mine doesn't have a hardware keyboard, I have to unlock it manually. So what I'm going to do is press the power button to wake it up, and then you slide your finger again from left to right. And if you have kickback enabled, it will give you tactile feedback when you're in the right place. So I just did that. I slid it from left to right. And now the phone is unlocked, and we are on the default launcher screen. It takes a minute. You have to do a little navigation for the speech to load. Susan is a pretty big voice, so it takes a minute to load. What I'm going to do here is press the home key, and that will take me to the Eyes Free Shell, which is also called Marvin from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. For those of you that know about that, Marvin the paranoid android, he was always a depressed. And when I do that, it will say a cute little speech here when I press the home button. So I'm going to do that now.
Here I am, brain the size of a planet, but you want me to just make phone calls?
They did a recorded file, basically. That's the Zarvox voice from the Macintosh doing that. But I can just imagine how Marvin would have said that in the actual Hitchhiker's Guide. Here I am, brain the size of a planet, and you only want me to make phone calls. Oh, I'm so depressed. So that's why it's called Marvin, though. Okay, now the way the Eyes Free Shell works, it's kind of interesting how they've done this. And this does use the touchscreen. It does kind of use the touchscreen in a unique way. There are 9 different functions that the Eyes Free Shell can do. And again, the home screen, which we're on now, is kind of the equivalent of like a desktop on a computer. You put your hand or finger in the middle of the screen, and you can kind of think of that as your number 5. It's relative, so you don't have to put it in exactly the same place. But that you can kind of assume is the number 5. And then you move your finger to different positions, kind of like virtual numbers, as it were, on the screen to do different functions. So, for example, the virtual number 1 would be your signal and signal strength. Number 2 is the current time. 3 is your battery, and so on and so forth. And I'll show you what each one kind of does here. My phone went to sleep again. Let me unlock it. Unlock the screen. There we go. Okay, I need to do a little navigation so this speech will load up. Let me go into the power off menu just to get this to
load. There we go. Service, 3:54 p.m. Saturday, February 19th. Unlock.
Okay, there we go. There's Susan. Takes that voice a little bit to load once you start to navigate. Okay, so let me unlock this again. The reason why it said no service is because I've got it in what's called airplane mode. And I will go ahead and disable that in a moment once I show you how the Eyes Free Shell works. So let me hit the power key here again.
Screen on. Locked. Please unlock. Home Eyes Free Shell.
Okay, it says Home Eyes Free Shell. So what we can do is, for now, like if I wanted to get my battery level, that's the virtual number 3. So what I'm going to do is put my finger in the middle of the screen, and then I'm going to slide it up and to the right as if I was moving up to the number 3.
Battery, 98%.
98%. And it will tell you what the function actually does, and then if that's the function you want, then you release your finger. If it's not, then you can simply, you know, move to another virtual button, as it were. And so it doesn't actually execute the command until you actually release your finger. Okay, the virtual number 2 is the time, so let me, I'll show you that. We'll just put the finger in the middle of the screen and then slide it straight up as if we were moving to the number 2.
Time, 3:55 p.m. February 19th.
Okay. Now, signal, well, I'll show it to you, but we're not connected to anything yet, so it won't say much, but if we move to the virtual number 1 position.
Signal. GPS.
It says no data network GPS because I do have the GPS turned on. Well, let's go ahead and get connected to a network. I'll go ahead and turn off the airplane mode. And to do that, we need to go into settings. Now, If we, in the eyes-free shell, if we slide to the virtual number 8 position, which that would be, you know, starting in the middle of the screen and then moving straight down, that will give us a menu, an alphabetical list of applications. And then we can just move up and down with the trackball, or you could use, you know, arrow keys or your trackpad, whatever you had, to navigate that list. On the default launcher screen, the one that first appears when you first turn on the phone, before you, you know, get to your default home screen, whatever it is, you can also click on all applications there, and it will show you a grid of the applications. Matter of fact, let me show you that. What I'm going to do is hold down the back button. Yeah, my phone just went to sleep. Okay. And I'll show you how you can navigate that. And now this may vary somewhat depending on which phone you've got. And that's why I was mentioning the eyes-free shell, because then you'll have a consistent interface if you install that. Okay, let me unlock the phone. I'm going to hold the back key down here for a second.
Shortcuts left.
Oops, I hit the wrong one. Let's see.
Shortcuts left.
Let me hold the back. Okay, there we go. And in a second.
Launcher.
Okay, launcher is the default, you know, Google home screen, and that one will load the first time you when you first turn on the phone at first. And this one does have a menu. We could get to settings that way. Matter of fact, let's do that. Let's go to settings that way. We could have done it from the eyes-free shell too as an application, but since we're on the launcher, let's do it that way. That way I can show you the menus. So I'm going to press the menu key, and again, that takes you to the applications menu, whatever application you happen to be in.
Menu, add, wallpaper, search, notifications, add.
Okay, add, we can add something to this. Now these menus too are, it's not always an up and down list, so you do need to move up, down, left, and right, because the menus are kind of in a grid view. Like to get to settings here, we need to go, I think, down and then to the right.
Search.
There's search.
Notifications,
you can think of that as the equivalent of like your system tray or your status menu on the Mac. It's where status information is. It's where if you've got any missed calls. And this gives you a way to get to that. You can also touch the top left of the screen. That's where the status area is also located, and get to it that way. Well, let's go to settings here. I think we need to go over to one to the right.
Settings.
There we go. Let's open that.
Click. Search.
Okay.
Teddy, wireless and networks.
Okay.
15.
Then I just click the trackball to select the item. Okay, wireless and networks, and you notice there's 15 items in this settings screen. That's something that Spiel tells you that TalkBack does not, and I kind of like that feature. So let's click on wireless and networks here.
Wireless and network settings, airplane mode, disable all wireless connections, checked, 1 of 8.
Okay, that's checked. I will uncheck that in a moment, but let me just arrow down. This is a vertical list, and so all the options in here are just up and down.
Wi-Fi, turn on Wi-Fi, not checked, 2 of 8.
You can turn on Wi-Fi and not connect to a cellular network if you want to do that.
Wi-Fi settings,
that's where you connect to a wireless network and enter your password if you wish. Here's Bluetooth.
Bluetooth settings. Manage connect tethering and portable hotspot.
Tethering and portable hotspot. This is a nifty feature.
USB or is a portable Wi-Fi hotspot. 6 of 8.
Yeah, Susan has a little interesting pronunciation there. What you can do is share your internet connection that you have if you have a data plan, and you can share that and then let any other device connect to it just like any other Wi-Fi hotspot. So that's built into Android. No need anymore to mess with connecting USB cables to a computer and having to install drivers or anything like that to tether your phone. Just use it as a Wi-Fi hotspot if your computer has Wi-Fi, which most of them do nowadays.
VPN settings. Set up and manage virtual private networks. VPNs. 7 of 8.
VPN settings. That's in a corporate environment. You might use that.
Mobile networks. Set options for roaming. Networks. Apps. 8 of 8.
And that's roaming. You can set that kind of thing, whether it roams and that type of thing. So we want to go ahead and turn off the airplane mode, so I'm going to go ahead and zap back up to the top of the menu here.
Airplane mode checked. 1 of 8.
And I'm going to click that to uncheck it.
Not checked. Wireless and image.
Okay, great.
Wi-Fi. Scan Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi. Scanning.
And it's scanning to try to find my network, and it'll find it in a moment. All right, so let's go back, and I'll show you some of the other settings you may want to change in this in settings to make your experience a little bit better. Again, the back key is kind of like an escape key. It takes you back to the previous screen. So I'm going to go ahead and hit that now.
Back settings, wireless and networks, 1 of 15. Call settings, 2 of 15.
Call settings. Let's go ahead and take a look at that. I'll go ahead and just click on that.
Call settings, fixed dialing numbers. Manage fixed dialing numbers, 1 of 5.
Fixed dialing, I guess that's to limit, so you can only dial certain numbers, I guess. I haven't played with that too much. So we'll just leave that for now.
Voicemail service, my carrier, 2 of 5.
There's where you can set up you know, your voicemail, if it uses your carrier voicemail or something else. And again, this may be somewhat different from phone to phone, but it should be fairly similar.
Voicemail settings, settings for my carrier, 3 of 5.
Settings for my carrier, that's again some voicemail settings.
Call forwarding, 4 of 5. Additional settings. 5 of
5. Additional settings. I'm not going to spend too much time on that, but that's where you can set up in your call settings. All right, let's go back to the previous screen.
Back settings, call settings, 2 of 15.
Okay, let's go down.
Sound, 3 of 15.
Oh, this one's important. Let's go in there and have a look.
Sound settings, silent mode. Silence all sounds except media and alarms. Not checked, 1 of 10.
Okay, that goes into silent mode. There is a setting, if you install, there's an app on the market, it's called Accessibility Preferences, and you may want to grab that. There is a setting you can set whether or not you have speech while you're still in silent mode, and of course you'll want to set that so you do have speech in silent mode. Spiel automatically does that, I think, so that would only apply if you're using TalkBack. Okay, so let's go down.
Silent mode.
Whoops.
Silence all sounds except okay. Media vibrate. Never. 2 of 10.
You try this trackball on this phone. Sometimes it rolls a little bit too far, and you skip an option. Okay, that's the vibrate. You can turn that on or off.
Volume. 3 of 10.
That's your volume, and of course you can also set that on the right, left side of the phone, on mine at least. Now that may be different depending on what phone you've got.
Phone ringtone. 4 of 10.
There's the phone ringtone. You can change that. I won't go into showing you all the ringtones on this phone, but you can look through them and pick the one you like. The phone does allow you to hear the ringtones and the speech at the same time, so that's not an issue.
Notification rating, 6 of 10.
Notification, that's when you get like a text message or something like that.
Notification rating, 6 of 10. Pulse notification light. Pulse trackball light repeatedly for new notifications. Not checked, 6 of 10.
Yeah, this one has a trackball on it. That's what you navigate, but it does have a light, too, that can pulse when you have a new message or a missed call or something like that. I've got it disabled, actually, and depending on what phone you've got, that may or may not be there.
Audible touch tones. Play tones when using dial pad. Checked. 8 of 10. Audible selection. Play sound when making screen selection. Checked. 9 of 10.
You may want to check that. That's a nice feature. That's why you hear that little sound there, that like that whenever I move around. It kind of helps a little bit.
Lock sounds. Play sounds when logging and unlocking the screen. Not checked. 9 of 10.
Okay. So you can have that if you wish.
Haptic feedback. Vibrate when pressing soft keys and on certain UI interactions. Checked. 10 of 10.
So that's something you may or may not want to check. I have it checked. And there's also, of course, the Kickback accessibility application, which also provides some of that also. All right. Let's go ahead and hit back here.
Back settings sound.
Okay, there's a couple things in display I want to mention to you that you might find interesting.
Brightness, 1 of 4. Okay. Display settings, brightness.
Brightness is a slider, and unfortunately at this point, and I am told this will be fixed in a future Android version, it's a slider, and unfortunately the slider position does not read. You may want to put this all the way to the left, though. Just press it for, like, I don't know, 5-10 seconds, or move to the left. And that way, your screen will be as dark as possible, which will save your battery quite a bit, especially if you can't see the screen. There's no sense in having that brighter. It'll just take more battery power.
Auto rotate screen. Not checked. 2 of 4.
auto-rotate screen, you may want to uncheck that. Otherwise, what can happen is as you turn the phone different ways, your orientation may change to landscape, and then your menus will navigate horizontally instead of vertically, which can get confusing. I mean, if you want to use that, certainly you can, but I find it kind of confusing sometimes. So I've got mine disabled, which means it always stays in portrait mode. The only problem with portrait is it's a little bit harder to type on an on-screen keyboard, especially on a smaller screen.
Animation. No window animations are shown. 3 of 4.
Animation, you'll probably want to set that to no animation. That way, not only does it save battery power, but your system will run a little bit faster.
Screen timeout. Adjust the delay before the screen automatically turns off. 4 of 4.
Okay, and I've got that set to, I think it's 2 minutes. Okay, let's go back.
Back settings display. 4 of 15. Location and security.
Location and security, that's where you can enable or disable the GPS, or whether the phone gets the location from your wireless network. It can do that also. You know, so if you're not going to use the GPS, you can certainly shut that off and save a little bit of battery power. So that's kind of what's in there.
Applications.
Applications. This has some interesting stuff. Let's go in here. There is some things I want to show you in here.
Unknown sources. Allow installation of non-market applications. Checked. 1 of 4. Application settings.
Okay, that one, that's what AT&T actually disables.
Unknown sources. Allow installation of non-market applications. Checked. 1 of 4.
I actually checked that because the talking on-screen keyboard is not on the market yet. And had that not been checked, I would not have been able to install that. And like I said, on AT&T phones, they block you from doing that. So that would be a problem in that case. So I've got that checked.
Manage applications. Manage installed applications. 2 of 4.
That's, I want to show you that, but I'll show you what else is here first.
Running services. View and control currently running services. 3 of 4. Development. Set options for application development. 4 of 4.
Yeah. I want to show you the applications because that is where you can stop running applications. You can also install different task managers and things like that also. So, I just want to show you how that works.
Manage applications. Manage and reload. Accessible downloaded. Tag.
Okay. And this is also where you would uninstall applications. That's one way to do it. The ice-free shell actually gives you a way to do that also. So here's downloaded applications. You got some different tabs along the top. You can think of this as kind of like tab controls in a dialog box like you have in Windows and on the Mac. So here's the tabs that you've got.
Accessibility pre-downloaded. Tag. Running. Tag. Running. Tab downloaded. Tag. Running. Tag.
That's applications that are running currently. And then there's all.
On South Dakota card.
On South Dakota card, yeah. Susan, there's different modes you can set for Susan to read. You can set whether she expands abbreviations, which is really good when she's reading directions, like for navigation. So she'll say like drive and street and stuff like that. But she also then kind of expands other things like SD. She'll say South Dakota and stuff. And you can change that in her settings. There is an app for that. But, so if we go to downloaded, let's go to that.
Running, tag, downloaded, tag.
And we can just arrow through these.
Accessibility preferences, 20.00 kb, 1 of 35, air 1, 1.31, around 580 kb, 3 of 35.
Around me, that's another app for finding out stuff that's close to you.
Easy installer, 2, 20 kb.
Easy installer, that allows you to install, applications, from a memory card that aren't on the market.
Ice free shell, 6, 32 kb, 5 of 35.
Okay, so you kind of get the idea. Those are the different applications. If I clicked on one of these, we'd have options to uninstall it. You can also clear all of the preferences and things like that out for an application. So that's kind of how that works. Okay, let's hit back and go back to the main settings screen. We'll probably have to hit back twice.
Application settings, back settings, applications, 6 of 15.
Okay.
Accounts and
Accounts in Sync, that is where you can either add or remove a Google account or sign into your account if it's if you got a new phone. And you can also set what syncs, your calendar, your email. There's no sense in having the Gmail one checked because, again, that the default app is not accessible on Android for that, so there's no reason to sync that at this point. You would use the third-party accessible email program. But you can do calendar and contacts, and the cool thing about that is you could actually enter it on your phone, or you could go to Google's website and enter, you know, events there or contacts, and then they would automatically sync to your phone. Apple actually charges, I think, $100 a year for that. That's their Mobile Me service that allows you to sync, you know, between your iDevices and the computer. But Google offers you that free, and there's no desktop software, so that's a really good thing. Okay, so that's what that is. Let's keep going here.
Screen off at TNT 412.
Yeah, my phone went to sleep. Let's wake that up again. Okay.
Accounts and sync. Applications. Accounts and sync. Privacy.
Privacy, that's where you can set whether Google automatically backs up your settings backs up your application settings and that type of thing. You can choose whether or not that happens. If you purchase apps, the market does keep track of what apps you've purchased. That's associated with your account, so you don't actually have to... you don't actually have to use that to memorize your applications. It's mainly for backing up your settings and that type of thing.
Privacy, back up my data. Back up my settings and other application data. Not checked. 1 of 3.
Okay, let's go back.
Privacy,
okay.
8 of 15, South Dakota card and phone storage.
9 of 15. SD card and phone storage. Okay, that allows you to format the card and format a new memory card, that type of thing. That's what that does.
Language and keyboard.
Okay, language and keyboard, that's where you can set options for, depending on what phone you've got, you can, if you have a hardware keyboard, you could even disable the Google on-screen keyboard, because there's no reason to use that. And if you have other keyboards installed, they have some that do speech recognition and all kinds of stuff, you could, that's where you'd enable or disable that.
Voice input and output.
Okay, that's where you set your text-to-speech voice. If you have more than one, that's where that type of thing is, and we'll go in there in a little bit when we connect it to the computer, because I'll have to change to the default voice temporarily.
Accessibility.
Okay, accessibility. That is where you would go, and I'll actually go in here so you can see what's here.
Accessibility settings. Accessibility. Checked. 1 of 6.
Okay, that first one, that's the master control kind of. You have to check that for the other accessibility stuff to work.
Spiel. Checked. 2 of 6.
Okay, that's Spiel. When you install, if you download and install Spiel, that screen reader, it installs itself as a as an accessibility service. So that's in here.
Kickback checked. 3 of 6.
There's a kickback.
Soundback not checked. 4 of 6. Talkback not checked. 5 of 6.
And when you check that too, it'll give you an alert. It says, you know, it might be possible for it to collect all the information and things like that. You just have to hit OK to acknowledge that. I have TalkBack not checked since I'm using Spiel. And then this other setting.
Power button ends call. During the call, pressing power ends call instead of turning off screen. Checked. 6 of 6.
Okay. So that's that. You may want to check that to make it easier to hang up calls.
Back settings. Accessibility. 12 of 15.
Okay. So we go back.
Dock. 13.
Dock, that's for, I think, like a phone or a car dock or something like that. I don't have that accessory, so there's really not much we can do there.
Date and time, 14 of 15.
Date and time, you can set that, or you can just check the option, which I have checked, for the phone to just get the date and time from your carrier, and it will do that.
About phone, 15 of 15.
About phone, this is an interesting screen. Let's go into that for a second.
About phone, system updates, 1 of 10.
Okay, system updates, that if you want to manually check for any system updates, you can do that.
Status, phone number, signal, etc., 2 of 10.
Okay, status, let's go in there for a minute.
Status, battery status, discharging, 1 of 14.
Okay, that's the battery status.
Battery level, 94%, 2 of 14.
So that's another way to get your battery level, is just to come in here, although it's much quicker on the iFree shell, obviously.
My phone number. Network, a TNT 4 of 14.
Okay, and I won't bother reading my phone number on this. Yeah, network AT&T. I've actually got two different cells. I got AT&T and T-Mobile, and I have the AT&T SIM card in this phone at the moment, so it says AT&T.
Signal strength, 77 dBm, 18 ASA, 5 and 14.
Signal strength, 77 decibel. That may or may not mean anything to you. The Eyes-Free Show will give you a much more meaningful signal strength, and I'll show you that in a second.
Mobile network type, Edge, 6 of 14.
Okay, it's Edge, or it might say 3G or something like that. I've got that disabled at the moment, because 3G takes more battery.
Service state, in service, 7 of 14. Roaming, not roaming, 8 of 14. Mobile network state, disconnected, 9 of 14.
Mobile network state disconnected, that's if you were doing data. You know, actually transferring data with your mobile network, which I'm not doing at the moment. That's your IMA for the phone.
Wi-Fi MAC address 9021 Plato address unavailable uptime 028 and 29 seconds.
Okay, that's how long it's been booted up. The Bluetooth wasn't available because I don't have that turned on. Okay, let's go back. Battery use. This is a good thing. You can find out how much power different things are taking the battery. Let's go ahead and open that.
28 and 27 since unplugged display. Android system display. 86%. 1 of 6.
Yeah, so the display is really taking the most of the battery at the moment.
Android system. 4%. 2 of 6. Android lib wallpapers. 4%. 3 of 6. TTS service. 3%. 4 of 6. Wi-Fi. 2%, 5 of 6, cell standby, 2%, 6 of 6.
Yeah, so the display is taking the most of the battery at the moment. That's what's demanding the most power. Okay.
Back about phone, battery, legal information.
Legal information, we'll skip that.
System tutorial, learn how to use your phone, 5 of 10. Model number, Nexus 1, 6 of 10. Android version, February 2nd, 2001, 7 of 10.
Well, that's an interesting way to read the date, February... Second, oh, 2.2 actually is what it is probably, and it's expanding the date. It's 2.2.1.
Baseband version 3.2.5.0.0. Kernel version
2.6.
Build number 4J83.
So that's technical stuff that may or may not be useful to you. All right, let's. That's the settings screen, and that's some of the things you might want to change. Let's hit the home button and go back to the Eyes-Free shell. Yes, Marvin. Sorry. There's Marvin again. Okay, now if we do the signal strength, let's do that. So we'll go to the virtual number 1, start at the middle of the screen and go up and to the left.
AT&T 3 bars. Wi-Fi Mag World 3 bars. GPS.
Okay, so it says AT&T 3 bars. Wi-Fi Mac World, that's the name of my wireless network since I use mostly all Macs here. And then it says the GPS is enabled. So that's a nice, meaningful signal strength. Okay, so let's look at some other applications. Let's look at some other applications here that I have on the phone, and I'll kind of describe them as we go. If we start with the number 5 position again, or the middle of the screen, we go down to the number 8 position, that actually gives us a alphabetical list of all of our applications. So let's go ahead and do that.
Applications, accessibility preferences.
Okay, accessibility preferences. That that's something you may want to install. It allows you to customize TalkBack and I think Spiel puts itself in there too.
Air One.
Air One is a Christian radio station app that you can get and listen to that.
Around
Me. That's a good app for finding out what places are close to you. That's also available on the iOS platform, for those of you that are familiar with that.
Browser,
that's the default Google web browser, which currently is not accessible.
Calculator
is self-explanatory. That's accessible. It works.
Calendar.
That works. I've heard it works even better in Android 2.3, which I should have that update here in a couple of weeks. But you can certainly enter the actual information on your desktop computer, if you wish.
Camera
app is not accessible, unfortunately. There is a third-party one I think you can get off of the market if you want to take pictures.
Car home.
Car home, again, that has to do with the dock, which I don't have.
Clock.
Clock, that's where you can set alarms and that type of thing, which is accessible. Matter of fact, why don't I show you that? Let's go ahead and go into the clock application here. I'll just go ahead and click on that.
Clock temp button.
Okay, so...
Alarms button. Gallery button. Alarms.
If we go to alarms...
Alarms, add alarm.
And we'll do add alarm. What time is it here? It's,
modem. Clock. Sat 4. 23.
423.
Finder.
I don't know if this will go off in time, but I'll go ahead and try to add one for, I don't know, 426. How about that?
Clock display. Button. Add alarm.
So we do add alarm here.
1-4. Turn alarm on. Not checked. 1 of 6.
Okay, so we'll have to check that, obviously.
Set. Button. Button.
Let's see.
4. Edit text.
Okay, so here is the different clickable edit text fields for that. So... We're in the hour, and that actually is good, so we need to go over to the minute.
22.
And I want to change that to 26. So here's where we can use the talking on-screen keyboard. I'm going to click on this field.
Soft keyboard on.
And it says soft keyboard on. It's a self-voicing keyboard, really. I'm just going to type in 26.
And 5, 4, 3, 2.
And so you just kind of... Slide your finger around on the screen until you find what you want, and then you release your finger, and it types that character.
And 5, 6, 6.
There we go. All right, now I don't know if we have to click on it again or just move away from it. I'm going to try clicking on it and see what. Okay, I think if we just move away.
Soft keyboard on PM.
And it is PM. That's what we want. Okay, so the keyboard's still displayed, but that's okay.
Soft keyboard on. Cancel. Soft keyboard on. Set button.
So we hit set here, I think.
Soft keyboard on. Set alarm.
Okay.
Turn alarm on. Checked. 1 of 6.
There we go. Okay.
Time. 4:22 p.m. 2 of 6.
Well.
Repeat. Never. 3 of 6. Ringtone. Default ringtone. Waiting alarm. 4 vibrate. Checked. 5 of 6.
Unchecked. Not checked. Because we don't need to...
Label, 6 of 6.
I don't know why this didn't change. Let me...
Time, 4:22 p.m. 2 of 6. Soft keyboard off. 4:22 p.m. 4:22 p.m.
Oh, I know why. Because I didn't delete it. I didn't delete what was already there. That's why it didn't set. Okay.
22. Edit text p.m.
So...
22. Edit text.
So we have to delete
soft
this first.
On.
So... There we go.
Delete. 2, 2.
I have to delete those first. Okay. Now if I do...
And 5, 4, 3, 2, 2, 2, 6, 5, 6, 7, 6, 6, 6.
There we go. Okay.
Soft keyboard off. PM. Button. Soft keyboard on.
Okay.
Soft keyboard on. Cancel. Button. Soft keyboard on. Set.
Let me hit set. Now let's see if I got it.
On. Set alarm. Time. 4:26 p.m. 2 of 6.
Okay, there we go. I don't know if I got it in time.
Modem. PPP menu. Clock. Sat 4. 26. Closing now, menu.
I don't think I did. But had we got it in time, it would go off at this point. So that's how you set it, though. And it does work. You have to erase the current thing out of there first. I want to delete this alarm, actually. I don't want to keep it. So the way you do that, let's go back to the previous screen with the back key.
Soft keyboard off. Alarms, add alarm. Checked. 4:26.
Okay. Now here's another thing that's helpful to know with Android. You can also, if you hold the trackball or whatever you use to select, if you hold that down on a particular item for like a second or two. Oh, there it is. Okay, there's the alarm. So snooze, we got... Okay, so it did go off there. There we go. But if you hold the trackpad down on an item for a couple of seconds rather than just clicking it, it will bring up a context menu for that particular item and not for the whole application like hitting the menu key does. So I'm going to do that now to delete this alarm out of here. It's the equivalent of right-clicking on the Mac or Windows, or Shift-F10 in Windows, or you know, Control-Option-Shift-M on the Mac. It brings up the context menu for the current item. So I'm going to hold the trackball down on this item.
Turn alarm on. 1 of 3 alert. 4:26 p.m. Edit alarm. 2 of 3 delete alarm.
Delete alarm is what I want, so I'm going to select that.
Alert. Delete alarm. This alarm will be deleted. Okay. Cancel. Okay.
It just reads but that, and you can arrow left and right to OK cancel. Or cancel. So I'm just going to click OK on that.
OK. Button. Alarms. Add alarm.
There we go. Okay, so that's how the alarm works, and it's very accessible. All right, let's hit home and go back to the eyes-free shell.
Home, eyes-free shell.
And let's go back to the applications list.
Applications, except a blank, around, browser, calculator, calendar, camera, car, home, clock, contacts.
Contacts, if you want to add a contact, you can do that. I'll show you how it works. I really don't have one to add at this point, but I'll show you how it works.
Contacts. Contact. Contacts. Tag. Favorites. Tag. Contacts. Tag. Callbox. Tag. Phone.
And that's actually a part of the, it's actually a part of the phone app. So, it opens up the same application. It just takes you to the contacts tab. So if we arrow down here.
You don't have any contacts to display. To add contacts, press menu and touch. Accounts to add or configure an account with contacts you can sync to the phone. New contact to create a new contact from scratch. Import, export.
Okay, so let me click this, I think. Oh, well, okay, I guess we have to hit the menu key first.
Menu, menu, search.
Menu disconnected.
Display options. Accounts. Import, export. Accounts, search. Display options. Accounts. Import, export. Accounts. Accounts and contacts. Tag. Auto sync. Applications sync data automatically. Not checked. 2 of 3. N0OXY83@gmail.com. Sync is off. 3 of 3.
That's the one, so let me click that and see if it.
Accounts and sync settings. Sync contacts. Touch to sync now.
No, I don't want to do that.
Back. Accounts and sync settings. N0OXY83 auto sync. Applications sync data. Background data. Applications can sync. Send.
Oh, I'm in settings now. That's where I'm at.
Checked. 1 of 3.
Okay. Let's go back.
Contacts. Tag. You don't have any contacts to display. To add contacts, press menu and touch. Accounts to add or configure an account with contacts you can sync to the phone. New contact to create a new contact from scratch. Menu.
Okay,
menu.
Let's see.
Search. Display options.
I've never done anything with contacts.
Accounts.
So.
Search. New contact.
There we go. New contact. Okay, there it is. It's next to search. Again, you have to go up, down, left, and right. In these menus, it's not just a vertical list. Okay, so if we do new contact.
New contacts. Tag. Contact photo. First name. Edit text.
Okay, so these are the fields we could fill in. I don't have anything to fill in here, so I'm not going to actually enter anything here, but you could certainly do it by.
Phone. Edit text. Home. Button.
Let's see.
Email. Phone. Last name. Edit text.
So that's where you fill in the first name and last name.
Phone.
There's the phone.
Phone. Edit text. Email. Email. Edit text. Postal address. Organization.
Okay.
Revert.
So that's kind of how that works. Just a little idea of the contacts thing. Okay, let's go back. Or actually, let's hit home. We'll do that. Well, no, let me hit back first because I want to cancel out of this.
Bad contacts. You don't have any contacts.
Okay, let's hit home there.
All contacts,
so that's how contacts
tag.
Works.
Applications.
Okay.
Around,
let's
browser,
see what else I can show
calendar,
you here.
Camera, card, home, clock, con- contacts, easy installer.
Easy installer, that's what I use to install applications from my memory card.
Email.
Email, that's not, and that's not accessible anyway on the phone. That's the default
client.
Ice Free Shell, which we're already in.
Facebook,
I've heard that's accessible. I don't use it because I don't use Facebook.
Gallery,
I think, is where you view your photos and that type of thing.
Gmail,
that's very similar to the default email client, and it's not accessible, unfortunately, so you'd have to use the third party.
Goggles.
Goggles, that's for image recognition, and unfortunately, Google didn't make that very accessible either, unfortunately.
Google Search,
that works very well, so that's a good option.
Ideal Web Reader,
that's the web browser. Okay, that's a radio app, iHeartRadio.
Intersection Explorer
is an interesting app. This one is a eyes-free app. It allows you to explore streets and intersections that that you're close to. So I'm not going to show you that on this particular one because there's some other stuff I want to show you, but if anybody's interested in that, let me know.
K-Love
is another Christian radio app, radio station app.
Latitude,
that's part of Google Maps.
Okay,
Laquinto, that's where you can configure the Susan voice, whether it does abbreviations and that type of thing.
Maps.
There's Google Maps.
Market,
that's where you get your applications. And let's go in there, actually. I'll show you how that works. That's a big one.
Messaging, market.
Yeah, the trackball's kind of rolling around here.
Tilestorm HD, $4.06.
And when you first open it, it kind of gives you a bunch of different... the most top-rated apps and that type of thing. Let's go ahead and do a search. To do that, we hit the menu key.
Menu, search.
And search is the first option. We'll select it.
Soft keyboard on. Search Android Market. Search text.
All right, and we're in the search text field. What could we search for? I don't know. Just for the heck of it, let's do a GPS. There is an app, actually, I want to get and install to try out when we go out for our little pedestrian route, but I'll do that using the web interface. For now, though, I'll show you how the search works on here. Let's just type in GPS, something really simple.
F-C-F-G-G-G.
Okay, there's the G.
L-P.
P. And S.
C-S-S-S.
All right, and move over to the right. And it's a button. It's not labeled. Shame on you, Google. But that is the search button, so we'll go ahead and click it.
Soft keyboard on. Searching. Soft keyboard off.
All right. Now we can just arrow down through these.
Skydrated. Golf GPS. $1.99. Paul Goldstein. 2 of 21. Backcountry Navigator Pro. $9.99. Critter Mid Software. 3 of 21. GPS status donation $2.72. Eclipsing 4 of 21.
All right, just for the heck of it, let's take a look at that one. Let's say we wanted the description. We'll just go ahead and click on that.
Market button.
An unlabeled button there. Again, shame on you, Google.
$2.72.
Okay, that is what you would click on, and that throws some people. if it's a paid app, you click on the price to actually purchase it. If it's a free app, it'll say either free or just install, or it might say, like for TalkBack, if you go to the market to get the newest version of that and there's already a version on your phone, it'll just say update. And you would just click on that then. Let's keep going here.
This is a donation plugin for GPS status. It will remove the advertisements from the free version. If you do not have GPS status and toolbox installed, please visit the View More Applications item below and install it from there. If you like GPS status and toolbox, please leave a comment here. Thank you for your support. Recently changed to this version, added a launcher icon to the plugin. Despite the warning that this requires the main application, a lot of people complain that it does no.
Okay, so that's the description of that. So that's a little brief demo of how the market works. All right, let's go back to the home thing here.
Home, ice-free shell.
Okay, back to the applications list.
Applications, accessibility preference, blank,
if you have a keyboard, there is a way to do this on the screen, too. You can type the first letter of what you want to, and it'll skip you down to it. But for now, I'm just going to roll through it. Okay, messaging, I think, is the next one.
Messaging.
And it is. Let's go ahead and open that.
Messaging, new message. Compose new message. 1 of 2. D draft. Phoebe. Two of 2.
I have a message in here, I guess. Let's see what that is. I'm not sure what that is.
Soft keyboard on. New message. Compose new message. 1 of 1. Soft keyboard on. Blank. Soft keyboard on. Soft keyboard on.
Okay, let's see.
Set. Button. Soft keyboard on. Edit text back.
Let's
soft
see.
Keyboard off.
I'm not sure. Oh, I guess I'm not sure if that's a message that was left in here.
Edit text. Let me. Alert. Edit text. Select all. Select all.
No, I don't want to do that. Okay.
Messaging. Edit text back. Alert. Discard. Your message will be discarded because it has no valid recipients.
That's okay. Fine. I think I may have had one in here before that I had saved.
Button. Okay. Button. Messaging. New message. Compose new message. 1 of 1.
Yeah, that's what it was. I was kind of messing around in here before, and I had just typed some letters in there or something, and that's what that was. So you won't have that in there. So compose new message. Here we go. That's what we're on. So let's go ahead and click that.
Soft keyboard on. Messaging
2. 2. Okay. I'm going to pause this a second while I type, and I'm going to type in my own phone number, actually, on this and send a message to myself. So I'm going to pause this, and then we'll pick it back up in a second. Okay, so we are back on the recording here, and actually, let me double check that and make sure. Yes, okay, well, we are. Okay, so I've typed in my phone number, and now you just move the ball or the trackpad down one time. And we can just type something here. Let's just put test, I guess. Or how about test message? We'll do that. A little harder to type on this.
X S S S S A G.
Smaller screen. Okay, that should do it. Let me see if it. That didn't enter. Maybe because. Oh, you know what? I think you have to click on the actual box. That's probably why. Sometimes you have to do that. There we go. It says type to compose. Okay. Yeah, sometimes you have to click on the box, and sometimes it just appears. So now we are in the box. So what you have to do is after you type in the phone number, you move down once, and then you click. And if there's any doubt, then just go ahead and click your trackball or trackpad on the box. It won't hurt anything if that happens. Okay. Let's type that one more time. I thought maybe something wasn't working right, because what happens is the self-voicing keyboard speaks the letter, and then you release your finger, and then the screen reader actually echoes it. So it kind of repeats the letters, but that's just kind of the way it works. All right. Okay. So it says CAPT. It capitalizes the first letter for you. Test. Whoops. Type the wrong letter there. See, let's
delete.
Let's delete that.
Y.
Okay, T.
T space V.
Whoops.
M.
See, the small screens are a little harder to work with sometimes with touch screens.
C space.
There we go.
B N dot N M. M D
E.
S S S S D S S
S.
S.
A.
A. A. A. F. G. V. V. G. A. H. H.
Whoops.
L. Delete. H. H.
G is what I want.
V. C. F. G. H. G. 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 R. D. E.
When using these on-screen keyboards, I find sometimes it's good to use the tip of your finger. That way, because sometimes your finger ends up hitting more than one letter at a time. Hopefully, I typed that right. Okay, now I think we go over to the right.
Soft keyboard on. Send button.
There we go, and we send, and we click on that.
Test soft keyboard on.
Okay.
Send MS 3143.
Okay, and then what it does is it reads the,
Test SAG.
Well, I did make a little typo there, but that's okay. So it said, you get the notification, and then it said, test message, and it will read that for you. It puts it in the notifications, so even if you're not in the messaging application, it will still read you the message. So that's not a problem. So, and if you want to review that,
soft keyboard on. Time to compose. Edit text.
No, I don't want to do that. Let's go back.
Soft keyboard off. Blank. Time to compose. Blank. 3, 1, 4, 3.
And there's that. So. And then you can go ahead and
4:43 p.m.
and it says it's sent at 4:43. So, yeah. So that's how you can reread the message. I'm going to go ahead and delete this.
Word. Message options. Log message. 1 of 5. Forward. 2 of 5. Copy message text. View message details. 4 of 5. Delete message. 5 of 5.
And that's what we want.
Word. Delete. The message will be deleted. Delete. Cancel. Delete. Cancel. Delete. Button. Messaging 3, 1, 4, 3. Blank. Blank. 3, 1, 4. Blank.
Okay. I think I see. It's still got the, it's got that other item in there again, ready to, compose another message, I think.
Word. Message options. Log message. Log message. 1 of call. Add forward. Copy message text. 5 of view. Message details. 6 of 7. Delete message. 7 of word. Delete. The cancel. But delete. Button messaging 3, 1.
Okay, so once I close this out, then it'll probably be gone. Okay. So that's the messaging app. All right. Let's see what else we can do here. Well, let's take a look at the phone application. Now, here you will have, if you have a physical keyboard, you'll have an easier time dialing a number because then you can just use that. What I do on this one is I can just move to the different numbers and dial them and click them with the trackpad. There's also a talking dialer application that you can use to do that. News and Weather, that's an app that comes with the Android itself that's pretty good. Okay, so let's take a look at the phone application.
Places,
that's what we're going to look at for the GPS route here. We're going to take in just a few minutes.
Phone.
Okay.
Places. Phone.
There's the phone application. Let's
places.
Go ahead.
Open phone.
That.
Contact phone. Tag.
Okay. Now here, let's dial, I don't know, the weather number. Let's do that.
Edit text.
Okay, there's the edit text. I wonder if I click on that, if I can bring up the on-screen keyboard that way. Let me see. No, I guess not. Okay.
Two.
So let's dial the weather number here. I think it still exists. It's 321-2222. So the way we do that is we just move to each one.
Three. Button. Two. Button. One. Button. Two. Button.
Okay. And, of course, again, if you have a physical keyboard, you can just press the number. Now, the call button is down on the bottom past all
five,
of the different rows.
Eight, zero, dial, button.
There's dial. Let's go ahead and click that.
Dealer, 1 of 2. Skype out, 2 of 2.
Okay, now this is a nifty. Oh, that's kind of cool. I have Skype on here, and it's asking me which one do I want to use to actually make the call? I could use dialer or Skype. Usually I'm going to want to use the dialer. So what I'm going to do, and this is, I'm glad I brought this up actually, because you'll see this, especially as you get started with your phone, you'll get some menus asking, you know, what do you want to use as the default application to perform this action? When you have more than one application that can carry out something. Usually in this case, I would want to use the dialer on the phone itself, not Skype. So what I'm going to do is, there's a checkbox down here.
Use by default for this action.
Use by default for this action. I'm going to check that, and then I'm going to click on dialer, because that's the one I wanted to use.
Checked. Skype out. 2 of 2, Tiller.
Okay, and then... there we go. Now, there is a speakerphone option, too, on here that we can use. Let me see. And the thing is,
recommend wearing protection like earplugs or earmuffs. For information on custom,
there it is. The thing is, if you put it too close to your ear, it locks the screen to prevent your face from activating things. Okay. Now, to hang this up, we can do it a couple of different ways. We can just press the power button, or we can arrow to the end key, I think. There's end. I'll just click that. Okay, now there's the call log. That might be fun to look at. It records that in the log. I'll just show you what it looks like. And if you click on it, you can get more detail.
Call details. Call again. 321-22-22. 1 of 3. Send text message. 2 of 3. Add contacts. 3 of 3. Send text. Call again. 321.
So you can do that. Okay, I'm going to delete this out of here.
1 of 3. Back phone.
I'm going to clear the log, actually. That's in the menu. Yes, I'm sure.
Okay.
That's fine. Let's go ahead and go back to the home screen. Okay, let me show you a third-party application that I bought from the market. It's called Wonder Radio. And for those of you that are familiar with any of the iOS products, you know that that's also available for the iPhone and iPod Touch.
Applications, accessibility preferences, plan, YouTube.
There's YouTube. That's accessible also. There's Wonder Radio. Let's go ahead and open that.
Why? Wonder Radio. Recently played. List of recent stations played. 2 of 35. What recently played? NWS Weather Radio.
That's a nifty feature. You can hear the different weather stations.
4 of 35. Underground broadcast net local radio by GPS. Automatically locate local stations. 7 of 35.
That's a nifty thing. It'll give you local stations. Let's do that. Let's browse music.
Beginning content. Wonder Radio. Search. Button. Adult Camp. 2 of 23. Alternate. Rob. Best Beds. 4 of 23. Children's. 5 of 23. Classic Rock. 6 of Classical. 7 of 20. Country. 8 of 23. Decades. 9 of
Decades. That's always good. Let's do that.
Getting contents. Wonder Radio. Search. Button. Trim Radio 90s Plus. Canada. 2 of 43. Good Radio Rocking 80s, U.S. Now, Shetram Radio 70s Plus, Canada. Good Radio Forever 50s, U.S. Now, Good Radio Retro Radio, U.S. 6 of 40. Cretu, Pasadena, California. Now, Madram Radio 80s Plus, Canada. 8 of 40.
That's an 80s one. Let's try that. See if we can get that one.
Wonder Radio, blank. Start playing Drum Radio 80s Plus, Canada.
Start playing. Hopefully it'll be able to connect. I'm also connected to my Wi-Fi router too, so doesn't seem to want to connect to that one though.
Back one to radio.
Let's try a different one.
Retro Radio, US. Radio 70s Plus, Canada. 4 of 43. Rocking 80s, US.
Let's try that.
Now, share it one to radio. Blank.
Make sure my volume is up here. Well, it doesn't seem to want to...
Start playing Petradia Rock in 80s, U.S.
There we go. Great song from 89. Okay, so that's how that works. Okay, I'm just going to choose. What I did there is I went to the menu and I did quit from the menu. Okay, let me show you a really cool feature that Google just added a couple of weeks ago, and that is the ability to actually install apps on your phone, but you can use a web browser to browse them. There's a certain app that I want to get. I want to try with the GPS. It's called Talking Location. It's a free app. Let me hit the power button here to turn off my screen for now.
Screen off at TNT 4:53 p.m. Saturday, February 19th. Unlock.
Okay. So the phone is kind of just sitting here asleep, and I may have to wake it up again to start the download because it may disconnect from the Wi-Fi network while it's asleep. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up my
Avium Finder
browser. I'm on my Macintosh over here.
Map dot.
And
what's Safari window?
There's Safari, okay. And the site you go to, and you can even do this even if you don't have an Android phone yet, or a Google account. If you just want to browse and see what kind of apps are available, you can certainly do that. You go to market.android.com.
Open XKKM. Select AAM.
Now that assumes I can type.
A select T A D D M A HTML content.
Okay.
Link documents.
And I want to sign in here, so let me just do a search for the word
sign. Sign in. Clickable.
There we go.
Edit text blank.
And now I can type in my email address and my password.
N 0 Y at A T.
And the password?
Secure edit text.
Okay, so I'm going to type in the password there. Okay.
Stay signed in. Check box.
I'll go ahead and uncheck that. No reason to do that.
Signed in button. HTML content.
Okay, so
reader.
Now I can do a search. Now, this is a very strange control that you use to type in the search. It starts out as an edit box, but then when you type in the first letter, it kind of changes to a combo box. And some screen readers can't access the text at that point, so you might get some strange speech feedback. What you got to do kind of is just keep typing regardless of what your screen reader says.
Link.
So I'm going to press the command with VoiceOver to go to the next control on the page.
Search edit text.
There we go.
Search
and
edit.
There we are. So I'm going to type in
T-A threat.
See, and it didn't echo the rest of it because, again, the control turns into a combo box, but it did. It is typed, and now we can just go over and click on the button, which Google should label. That is the search.
Prep HTML content.
All right. Now let's go ahead and zap down to the first heading. That's where the results will be.
Lock vertical scroll bar.
Oh, well, let me...
Horizontal pores of HTML interlink.
Let's get back to the HTML area. Okay, there we go.
Heading level 1, 2 items. Search up about 53 results. List 12 item link. Antivirus free. AVG.
I'm not sure what that has to do with talking location, but okay.
Link. 80,000 bits link. Antivirus free per link. Talking location.
I think that's what
the help tab is. Link.
I think that's what I want.
Talking location. The help tab is talking location. Link. Link. 8. Link. Talking or speaking location. Shake the phone to get your approximate position with Wi-Fi or mobile if there is no GPS available. Email or SMS your location to friends. Link. iCamera Sutra. Link. Link. Bill Ray.
Kama Sutra apps? Oh boy. What will they think of next? Yeah, this is the one. Okay, so.
Link. Talking location.
So let's click on that and I'll show you kind of how this page is laid out. The market, you know, if you want to do it this way. I like it better doing it from a web browser myself, but that's just my opinion.
Press link. Talking location. Link. London bus to list 4 items.
Okay. So now let's go back to the top of the page
link.
And let's look at each heading here.
Heading level 1, talking location, link, Bill Ray. By 17611F46C68 ratings. Link. Install.
That's what we'll click here in just a minute, but I want to show you the rest of what's on this page.
Heading level 3. More from developer. List 4 items. Link. London bus tube. Link. Link. 53. Free. Link. Madrid. Link. Madrid metro map. Let 36. Free. Link. Speak English nouns. Let free. Link. Past participle English. Let. Link. 16.
So it gives you some other things from the same free. Developer.
End of lit heading level 3. Related.
And then it gives you some apps that are related to this one.
List 4. Link. EPF status and toolbox. Free. Link. POINT Corporation. Link. 4000. Free. Link. Android apps. Link. GPS. One click direction. The. Link. 402. Link. $2 and 9. Link. GPS tracking. Link.
Okay. Link. So let's go back to the next heading.
Heading level 4. About this app. Rating. 8. Updated. October 13th, 2010. Current version. Talking location. Current version. Talk requires Android. 1.6 and up. Category. Link. Travel and local. Installs. 1,000. 5,000.
That's the range of installs.
Size. 64K.
64K, okay, it's a pretty small app.
Price. Free.
And it's a free app.
Heading level 2. Description.
Here's the description.
Talking or speaking location. Shake the phone to get your approximate position with Wi-Fi or mobile if there is no GPS available. Email or SMS your location to friends. Shake to change accuracy. It is designed mainly for blind or eyes-free use. Tell me improvements, I will do them. Cannot guarantee location data. Link. Visit developer's website.
And then on the
visit
next heading, you can see ratings.
MSCRENSA talking location, heading level 2. User reviews, heading level 4. Great Android. By K0114R, heading by Yes Pen, read all reviews. Clickable.
Okay. So what we want to do here is go to the install link, which is back toward the top of the page. So let me zap back to the top of the page.
Link.
And let's just search for the word install.
Install. Clickable.
So we click that.
Press install. Click install. Click of install. Stop heading level 3. More from the link.
Let's see.
Install. Press link. Install.
Now,
cancel. And
what that does then is on the bottom of the page,
you are downloading. Install.
It gives you a little confirmation
link.
Here.
Help. Copyright. Stop. Link. Link. Install. You are downloading. Image. Send to. This app has access to. Heading level 4. This application has access to the following.
Now, this screen is important to read when you install apps on Android. What this is it gives you the permissions and what the application wants to access on the phone. Google is not as... They don't really go through an approval process on apps the way Apple does. So, potentially, there could be, you know, the potential for malware and things like that. However, in some ways, Android is actually more secure because with Apple, when you download apps to the iPhone or iPod Touch, you're just assuming that Apple's done all the checking and then that it checked out. But it doesn't really tell you what the app's going to access. With this, it does actually tell you, you know, the app wants to access this and this. And if something looks suspicious, you don't have to install it. I mean, if you're just downloading a wallpaper or something. I don't think a blind person would really have a use for that, but I'm using it as an example. And it's just a wallpaper, you know, something, a picture on your screen, and it wants to access your phone or your contacts. That should definitely raise a red flag. So let's see what this wants to access.
List one item. Bullet your location. Course, network-based location. Find GPS location.
And that's totally expected since it's a location-based application. So that's fine.
End of list. Cancel. End of cancel.
Now that's interesting. It doesn't give me an install on this. Unless my phone... Did my phone
screen
sign
on.
Out? Let me see.
Locked. Home eyes free shell. Signal. AT&T 3 bars.
Yeah, I think it did. Let me give it another second to connect, and then we'll refresh that page. Because my phone actually, I think, disconnected from the Wi-Fi network.
Signal. AT&T 3 bars. Voice home. Signal. AT&T 3 bars. Wi-Fi Mac World 3 bars.
There we go. Now then.
And cancel.
Let me refresh this page.
Reload page. Safari ready. 8 of horizontal HTML link. Document link. Privacy policy.
Okay, let me click install again now and see if it...
FFL, install, clickable. Stop 8 link, install, press link, install. Heading level 3, install button.
There we go.
Can, heading.
Yeah, my phone wasn't signed into my,
This app has access, heading list wide, bullet URL, end of list, cancel, install button.
There we go. Okay, now then, let's go ahead and click install.
Press install button. Okay, button.
And the phone starts to vibrate, it's downloading.
Installing applications reloaded, successfully installed talking location.
And there we are. You see, no need to connect, did it all from the computer, and it just downloads and installs to the phone, just like that. That's a really cool feature. Okay. Let me show you how, let me show you how to connect, the phone to your, computer, if you want to do that. Let me go ahead and exit out of the web browser here.
Finder.
And I'm going to pause this while I go grab a USB cable. All right, then. We're back on the recording here, and I've got a micro USB cable. I got a bunch of those around here. I just grabbed one. It's standard plug, so it doesn't really matter which one I grab. Okay, so what we're going to do here is I'm going to plug this into my Macintosh. Like this, and then now when I mount this as mass storage again, it's going to lose access to what's on the card, which means I would lose speech. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go into the settings and change this to the default voice that comes with Android. This is what you'll hear when you first get one. It's not near as good of a voice as what Susan is, but it suffices. And Susan, by the way, on the market, she costs about $5, I think, which compared to mobile speak, if you bought an extra voice for that, well, I think it was like you get three voices, but even still, it was like $75 for that. It was like, oh, wow. Okay. Anyway, let's go into applications. I need to go to settings so I can change this voice.
Applications, accessibility,
I'm just going to arrow up because it's closer to the bottom.
Settings,
there we go. This trackball rolls around quite a bit. Okay.
Settings, about phone, 15 of 15.
And it says about phone because we had already opened that app previously, so it was still running in the background. You can close these tasks with the app manage applications, and there's also task managers you can get from the market if you want to close them manually, but usually Android's pretty good about managing system resources. That's where we have to go. Text-to-speech is where we have to go.
Text-to-speech settings. Listen to an example. Always use my settings. Default settings below. Override application settings. Checked. 2 of 10.
Okay.
Default engine.
Default engine. That's what we want to do.
Default engine. Cancel. Button. Liquendo TTP. Pico TTS.
Pico TTS is what we want.
Text-to-speech settings. Text-to-speech settings. Default engine. Sets the speech synthesis engine to be used for spoken text. 3 of 10.
Now that's pretty slow. I'll go ahead and speed that up a little bit.
Install voice data. Install the speech rate. Speed and alert. Speech rate normal. 3 of 5. Text to speech settings. Speech rate. Speed at which the text is spoken. 5 of 10. Ice free shell.
And you can make it go even faster if you want. But as you can see, it's not near as good of a voice, and different speech engines will speak at different rates. I'll have to put that back to... Well, it actually talks the same with the screen reader, but Susan tends to talk really fast with the navigation app if you don't set that to slow. So, okay, now that that's done, I won't lose speech when I mount this. So what I'm going to do is go ahead and connect this... USB connection to the bottom of the phone.
USB mass storage.
Okay, now what that does...
It's disconnected.
What that does is it puts a notification. Remember, notifications are kind of the equivalent of your system tray or something like that. And there's a notification here, and it opens up that window, actually. So...
Turn on USB storage.
Yeah, and when I do that, then it's going to give me a window saying that some stuff won't be accessible because you know, the Laquendo Susan voice is on the memory card. So I'm going to click this.
Alert. Turn on USB storage. If you turn on USB storage, some applications you are using will stop and may be unavailable until you turn on USB storage. Okay, cancel.
And that's okay, because I've already prepared for that.
Okay, button. USB mass storage. Turn on USB storage.
Selection replace.
Turn on USB storage.
And
turn
now,
on USB storage. Select to turn off USB storage.
Okay. Now I've got that as a drive here on my Macintosh desktop.
No name. Select no name.
And no name is what it's called. I didn't give my memory card a title. But we could copy. Let's copy an MP3 or two to this. Let me open up my hard drive.
No name. Selected volume.
Let's see.
No name. Selected volume.
I want to open up the hard drive, actually. Okay.
Open. Now in window, Macintosh.
There we go. Okay. And, I don't know. I just got a folder called MP3. Let's open that.
MP3. Open in this window. List.
And what should we copy here? Alabama. I don't know.
Alabama forever is as far. Alan Park. Alanis.
Screen off.
This.
Locked.
Okay. And my phone just went to sleep. That's okay.
AT&T, 5:09 p.m. Saturday, February 19th. Charging, 85%. Unlock.
Yeah, okay. So, I don't know, let's copy...
Backstreet, bad ink, Barry Manilow.
Oh, I don't know.
Beach Boy, Beatles, Sicilian...
Oh, how about this Beatles song?
Beatles, I'm happy just to dance
with you. So let's do a Command-C to copy that.
Copy, Beatles.
And let's close out of this. Now let's open the no-name thing.
No-name, selected volume.
And open that.
Open. Now in window, no name.
And there are some folders that you'll have that Android creates, you know, by itself on your memory card. But you know what? You can put stuff in a certain folder, or you can just toss it in the root. Although, usually the root can contain a limited number of files, but since we're just going to do one in this case, we'll just dump it in the root folder. So I'll just do a Command-V to paste it.
Paste item. One row added.
And it's already copied. Okay. So now that we're done, to disconnect this, the first thing we want to do is eject it on the Mac. So we'll arrow down to it and do a Command-D.
Eject was removed from selection. Zero item selected.
And then I think you can probably just disconnect the cable, but there is an option to turn off the mass storage, and that's how I'm going to do it.
Screen on. Please unlock. USB mass storage. Turn off USB storage.
Turn off storage, and that's what we want.
Turn off USB storage. Button. Preparing SD card. Clear. USB connected.
Okay, now I'm just going to go ahead and disconnect the cable now, because it unmounted the card, and so I just disconnected it. Okay, there. Now I'm going to go ahead and go back to settings and switch back to Susan, because now that we're no longer in mass storage mode, the SD card has become accessible to the phone again.
Applications. Access blank. Y. Wondering web at walkie-type voice. United States. UK. Twitter. Tune in. Radio. Talking. Dialer. Talk. Xbox Plus Eel Skype. Settings. Skype. Settings.
Settings.
Voice input and output. Accessibility. Voice input and out. Voice input and out. Text to speech set. Text to speech set. Always use my settings. Default engine alert. Default engine. Cloak window TTS Susan. Two of. Text to speech settings. Text to speech settings. Default engine.
There we go. Now let me set the voice back to a slower rate, otherwise the directions app, the navigation app will talk really fast. Okay, great. All right, now let's go ahead and open up the music player. So we'll go back to applications here on the Eyes Free Shell, and start in the middle of the screen and flick down to the 8 spot. And let's go up to music, and what that will do is it'll scan the card, and it should find the MP3 that I've copied to it. There we go. Go ahead and select that.
I'm happy just to dance with Y158, the Beatles.
And that's the only one I've got there.
Playlists.
And you can sort it if you have more than one thing. You got playlists.
Recently added. Playlists. songs, albums, albums. Songs, playlists, playlists, songs. I'm happy just to dance with Y. 150, I'm happy.
Okay, let's go ahead and click that. Now, I think on this you can arrow left and right to fast forward through this. I'm not sure, though. Let's see. No, I guess not. Now, to stop this, I think you just... Yeah. All right. Now, so that's how you play and stop. Now, if we want to delete this... we got some unlabeled buttons here. Google, I really wish you would label your buttons. There is no excuse for that whatsoever.
Button,
there really isn't.
Back, songs.
Okay.
I'm happy just to dance.
Now I think if we hold the trackball down on this item, it should give us the choice to delete it. Let's see.
Word. I'm happy just to dance with Y. Add to playlist. 2 of 5. Play. 1 of 5. Add to play. Uses phone ringtone. 3 of delete. 4 of 5. Search.
Yeah, so you can also use one as your phone ringtone also. That's a nice thing, but we'll delete this for now.
Delete.
And we'll just
button.
Click OK.
Songs.
I want to delete that. Okay. There we are. So that takes care of that. Okay. Let's go ahead and hit the home key here and go back to the home screen.
Home.
All right. Well, how about we go out and do a quick pedestrian route so I can show you how the GPS works. This is really good stuff, considering that it's free, especially... I'm going to turn my screen off for now.
Screen off. A TNT 550.
Okay. Let me go ahead and pause this and get things ready here, and we'll go ahead and venture out. What we'll do is, for those of you that checked out my iPhone GPS comparison, we'll use the same destination, Mom's Deli. It's a restaurant over here, and I'll start from the same place, and we'll see how that works. So let me go ahead and pause this, and we'll actually pick up the recording once I get outside to the place where we're going to start. All right, we are back on the recording here, and I'm at the place where we can do our starting point. I want to show you a couple other things, though, before we do that. Trying to juggle this, got the recorder and my cane and the phone here. All right, let's go ahead and unlock the screen. So press the power button.
Screen on. Locked.
Okay, let me do my best to do that.
Screen off. Locked.
Come on.
Screen on. Locked. Please unlock. Screen off.
Well, locked. I don't know why it's not wanting to do this for me. Come on. Let's try this again.
Screen on. Locked. Please unlock. Home. Ice free shell.
There we go. All right. Now, I'm standing here, and let's say we wanted to get our location. This is another feature of the Eyes Free Shell. Position number 6 is, so we'd start at the middle of the screen, and then you would just flip to the right, to the virtual number 6 position, and that will give you your location. You may have to hit it a couple of times to get the location, because I don't think the GPS receiver is on all the time. So you may have to do it twice to get the location. So let's go ahead and, I'm going to do that now. Well, maybe. Come on. There we go. Okay, it may take a second, because then what it does is it...
Station North GP South, year 6801, minus 6899, Edward Place, St. Louis, and West.
Okay, it kind of does us crazy abbreviations there again. We could turn that off, but then the directions wouldn't be as good. So it kind of gives us a rough estimate of where I'm standing now, which is over in a park, actually. So that's how that'll work. Okay, so the destination is Mom's Deli. That's the restaurant we want to walk to. There are a few ways we could get there, or get the directions. We could go directly to the navigation app, which is part of Google Maps, actually. Or we can use what's called the Places application, which is is another part of Google Maps, actually, that will tell you what's around you and what's close to you. You could also enter addresses into the navigation app if you wanted to also. Let's go ahead and use the Places app in this case. And my phone just locked again. Let me go ahead and unlock that.
PM, Saturday, February 19th. Unlock screen on. Locked. Home eyes free show.
Okay, so let's go down to the virtual 8 position.
Applications, accessibility preferences, blank bag, home.
Oh, come on.
Applications, accessibility, blank, EY. Wonder Radio Web Act, Walkie Talkie, Voices or US in US.
Walkie Talkie is another GPS app too for walking, though I've played with it a little, but I haven't gotten it to work as good as the navigation app. I need to play with that a little bit more. There's places. Let's go ahead and open.
Phone, online. Phone, places.
There we go. Go ahead and open that.
Find places, restaurants, waiting for location, find places.
Okay, it says waiting for location while it gets the GPS thing. Okay, restaurants is what we want.
Restaurants.
Let's go ahead and click that.
Searching for restaurants. Find places, restaurants. L near my location, restaurants. Bars, restaurants.
Oops, I bumped the back button. See, it's
searching
hard
for
to
restaurants.
Hold all this stuff at once. Okay. Okay, there we go. Let's see what we got. Well, come on.
Play find places. L near my location. Find restaurants. Bars. Attractions. Bars. Restaurants. Searching for restaurants.
Unless it's still having trouble getting the location, but usually by now it gets it. Okay, let me pause this for a second and see what's going on. It might still be looking for the location. Let me just pause this while I figure this out. Alrighty, we're back on the recording here. I went ahead and rebooted the phone. I've seen that too sometimes with this phone and with the iPhone. I guess with any phone, sometimes you get a reboot when you've been running, you know, several applications to get the GPS to work again. Okay, so I just clicked on restaurants where we were, and here we are. So now we should be able to move through this list.
Mom's Deli. Not checked. 4412 Jamison Avenue, St. Louis, Missouri. 117 reviews dollars. The Mob Special is the best sandwich ever. All of their stuff is good and...
Okay, so, yeah, it gives you the closest thing first. Doesn't tell you the distance. Might be nice to know, but and it gives you a review and it tells you the address. So let's go ahead and click that here.
Blank, blank, great food and atmosphere, and reasonably priced too.
Okay.
Overall, a lackluster and overpriced meal, food and service were excellent, not a calm, airbag.
Okay, so now to get the directions, I can't tell you exactly which way to go, you kind of just have to feel around, as it were, but it is here.
Show on map. Get directions. Show on map. Get directions.
There we go. It's up and to the right, I think, is what I did there. Now, when you do this, it'll ask if you want driving or walking. And in this case, we want walking.
Driving navigation. Walking navigation. Get directions. Walking navigation. Blank, blank.
Okay.
Great food and atmosphere. And reasonably priced. Getting walking directions. Head west on Linda Enwood Place toward Jamison Avenue.
Okay, you can tell what the screen reader is and what the navigation app, because the navigation app talks to you in a louder voice. But yeah, head west on Lindenwood towards Jamison Avenue, so that's what we're going to do here. And then once we get the turn, I'll go ahead and try that talking location app that I downloaded. But in the meantime, let's go ahead and start to journey here. And as we go along, we should hopefully get the turn prompt. And I'll tell you when we get it. So
head west on Linda Enwood Place toward Jamison Avenue.
That's what we're doing.
Turn left to Jamison Avenue.
Okay. Well, it gives us the turn a little bit in advance. Now, it may tell us again. I don't know.
we are just about to the corner now. So it does tell you like a good 50 or 100 feet before the corner. And I'm at the corner now, so that's how long it took when it said to turn. So you do have plenty of time to turn. And here is the corner, so we're going to make the turn. Turn left. Okay. Now we've got a couple of blocks to go. And we'll see how accurate it gets to the destination. It should tell us, if it's right, that the destination... well, it'll have to be on the left, because that's the way the street's actually on the right. And I think... I haven't done a whole lot of testing with this yet, but we should be able to minimize this and pull up that talking location app. Let's see if we can. I'm going to stop a second, actually, and try to pull that up here. Let's see here.
Home, eyes, free shell, applications, plan, B, accessibility, 2, accessibility, air, 1, accessibility, 2, Y, 1, direct, web, act, walkie, talk, voice, sir, US, in, US, in, UK, Twitter, 2, 9, radio, talking location, GPS.
Okay.
GPS, talking location, to wife and odd locator, button, 3908 Jameson Avenue, Street, Lurie, Missouri, 63100.
Let me see if there's a menu on this app.
Menu, SMS your location, add SMS, email, exit, email, 3908 Jameson Avenue, Street, Lurie, Missouri, 63109, refresh, email your location.
Oh, all right, well... it looks like it does it just every couple of seconds. And it looks
Avenue,
like it
Street, Lurie,
it looks like
Missouri,
it,
3, 1, 0,
it sends it directly to the text-to-speech engine
locator,
rather than...
3912 Jameson Avenue, Street, Lurie, Missouri, 63109.
Well, might be handy to have.
3916 Jameson Avenue.
I wonder if it'll tell you to cross streets when you get close. Let's find out. I won't run that the whole time. It just updates automatically every couple of seconds. Looks like
20 Jameson Avenue Street, Lurie, Missouri 63.
It's a St. Louis. She says she for the St. Louis. Susan does so.
Jameson Avenue, Street, Lurie, Missouri, 63109.
Okay. Well. 3928
Jameson Avenue,
okay.
Street,
I think that app
Lurie,
has proven
Missouri,
its
six,
point. Let me go ahead and exit that.
Menu, SMS your location. Add SMS 3928 Jameson Avenue.
Go ahead and exit
Street,
that.
Lurie,
let's
Missouri,
see.
63109. SMS your location. Exit. Nachi talking location to wife and mod locator. Button.
Okay. I think that exited out. Let's see if it did.
Menu, SMS your location.
Okay, let's see.
3932 Jameson Avenue, Street, Lurie, Missouri, 63109. Refresh.
Now, let's see how to exit out of this.
3932 Jameson Avenue, Street, Lurie, Missouri, 63109.
Yeah, it might be a nice app to have. I'll keep it, but, it...
3936 Jameson Avenue, Street,
can't
Lurie,
seem to exit
Missouri,
out of it, though.
3109, talking location to wife and mod locator.
Now, maybe if I just hit the home button.
3936 Jameson Avenue, Street, Lurie, Missouri, 63109. Application plan,
Attitude. Here, I can exit
air
it this
one,
way.
Air 1, accessibility, Attitude, Y, 1, direct web act, walking to voice search, US, in, US, in, UK, English, Vitimeter, 29 radio, talking location. East, talking location. Menu, details for talking location. Uninstall talking location. Details for talking location. Uninstall talking details for talking location. Clear data. Button. Force stop. Button.
There we go. Okay.
Home.
Okay.
Nice.
That's a nice app to have, but it could probably get annoying, although it might be useful if somebody wants to have something, you know, that's always speaking the address, but, yeah. Okay. Anyway, let's continue on our way to our destination. You can use the ice-free shell to get the location when you want it. And sometimes it'll tell you the cross street, but not always. But it's a nice app to demonstrate, just so you know how it works. Okay. And we can get the location. We'll see when we get up to the intersection here if it... if maybe we can get the cross street of that. This is the longest block to go.
Screen off. Locked. AT&T 5:42 p.m. Saturday, February 19th.
Let me go ahead and unlock my screen here. I'm going to make sure that navigation app is still running.
Home. Ice-free shell. Applications blank.
I want to make sure that navigation app is still running.
US, UK, Twitter, 2-9, we're talking, we're talking, TikTok, Civix, Plus, Beyond, Skype, Settings, Rock, Lock, Radio, Optic, Radio, Places, Phone, Online, NPR, News and Weather, Navigation, News and Weather, Navigation, blank, Navigation, blank.
Yeah, it is, okay. I just put it back to the foreground, though, to make sure that Google's memory, because it'll... If too many other apps, I wonder if it gets in the background, it may end up ending the task, and I wanted to make sure it didn't do that, so I just brought it back to the foreground again. Okay. Okay, a couple of days ago, and they still do, they were doing some construction right here at this intersection, and it looks like they still are, so I have to go around a little bit.
Mobs Deli, 500 FT, Mobs Deli 44, 12 Jameson Avenue, St. Louis, Missouri 63109-1910.
About 500 feet, okay, yeah. All right, let's get around this other construction here. Been wanting to do this actually for a couple of weeks, but really couldn't because we had a snowstorm, really a bigger snowstorm than we've had in several years here, and we only got like 3 or 4 inches of snow, but we got a lot of ice, so it was kind of dangerous to walk, although I've got things for my boots that keep you from slipping, and boy do they work. They showed their worth through that, but I didn't want to try to do this with that snow, but we had a very warm week, and that melted off all the snow, so that's good. Somebody's barbecuing out here. It smells delicious. We have one more street to cross, and then we'll be just about there. I might even walk in and get a sandwich. We'll see. Got a really good musket chole here, too. That's really good, and so a lot of good food at this place. Okay. All right, we are at our next street crossing. And when the navigation app, too, is in the foreground, it keeps your screen from locking. From turning off. You can lock it manually if you want to, but we're just about there. Okay, just crossed the last street. We'll see when it announces the destination and how close we get here. Yes, it is, and I am right at the steps now where you would go to walk up to go inside. So that was
dead on. I mean, that was very good, and very good directions. Gives you when to turn, tells you what direction to start out, and it tells you what side the destination is on, and that's totally free. Your phone will probably come with a version of Google Maps / navigation installed, but again, it probably won't be the latest one, so you'll want to go on the market and get the newest version of that. So yeah, no doubt about it, it works well. I think that the days of paying several hundred dollars for an accessible GPS are over, both on the iPhone and Android. It's silly to pay $700 or $800 for a GPS app when you know, this is free, and you know, on the iPhone certainly it's very cheap and reasonable. And it may not have every single little feature, but you know, consider the price difference. Are those extra little features worth it? I'd say no. It's great that we're able to use more and more mainstream stuff now, because then we don't pay any more for it than sighted people do, which is really the way it should be. We should not have to pay anything extra for things than sighted people do, I think, and it should not be up to third-party developers to make this stuff accessible. The companies that are developing it need to build accessibility in from the ground up. Simple as that. you know, Apple's done it, and of course now Google is doing it. Still got some things to work out with Android, but as you can see, it's usable. All right, I'm going to head back. I won't get a sandwich this time. Actually, I think they might have been closed already. Closed really on a Saturday, but go ahead and head back, and then we'll go ahead and wrap this up. So I'm going to go ahead and pause this, and then we'll do some final comments when we get back. All right, we are back on the recording here. Made it back home, and okay, I guess with that I'll go ahead and wrap this up. Oh, one other thing I wanted to tell you. As far as caller ID goes, when you get a call, the screen readers will speak the caller's number and or the name if you have it in the contacts. So that's another thing that's available. So as you can see, you don't have all the commands that you would have like on the other screen readers as far as reading by word and character, but is Android usable? I'd say so. I would definitely say so, as you've seen with this. You do need sighted help, you know, at first maybe to know to learn where the buttons are and to get the accessibility enabled, but after that, it's very usable. That's good. Especially now that, Nokia, of course, is dropping Symbian. They're phasing that out and going to Windows Phone 7, which has no accessibility or even capability at this point to run any accessibility application, which, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, Microsoft should have known better. That is unacceptable to do that. I don't think Windows Phone 7 is going to gain very much market anyway compared to the iPhone and what Android has, but we'll see. But there is no excuse for what they did there. That is completely unacceptable. You know, hopefully accessibility on Android will only get better at this point. And it's great that we have alternatives where the screen readers are free, which is, again, really the way it should be. I cannot see myself going to any other platform anymore where you have to pay for the screen reader on a phone. There's just no reason for that. We should not have to pay anything more than sighted people do for access. Well, if anyone wants to contact me, again, I know I've given you a lot of information here, and I'm sorry that I couldn't be more consistent with the information, but just because of the differences with the different Android devices, that there's no way for me to tell you more about, you know, where things are located and things like that on the phones. But hopefully I've given you at least enough information that you can make a decision, you know, if you want to go check one out and maybe even and get one and use it for your phone, what to look for and you know, some basic concepts that might help you to get started with it. If any one of you would like to contact me, feel free. Would love to hear from you. My email address is N0OXY. That's N as in November, and the number 0, and then OXY, that's my ham radio call sign, at charter, charter.net. So that's my email address, and if any of you would like to contact me, feel free. Would love to hear from you. And if anyone's interested in me continuing this, maybe I'll do another couple of podcasts on Android and the usage of it. We can certainly go into more detail on some things if you'd like. I just wanted to kind of do an overview on this one, kind of like with the iPod Touch and the Mac. The first one I did was kind of an overview of a bunch of things, and then if we want to go into some more detail, we can certainly do that. So until the next podcast, everyone take care, and hope this was enjoyable and beneficial to you.